Welcome to the Time Management Podcast with me, your host, Abigail Barnes. I'm a productivity coach, global speaker, time management author, and award-winning entrepreneur on a mission to share the 888 formula with the world and to remind you that it's your time. Leave it to me to bring you new time management tips, tricks, tools, and strategies, to introduce you to guests, research, and case studies from around the world, and to give you a simple five-step process you can follow to up-level your productivity, achieve your goals, and create a life that exceeds your wildest dreams. I'm so excited that you're here, so let's get started. Welcome to the show. My guest today is the amazing Lauren Kelly. Welcome to the show. Lauren, let's just dive straight into it all. Who is Lauren Kelly in a nutshell?
Well, I'm a human design coach, but I'm also a TV production executive, and I'm passionate about helping people understand how they are unique, how they are different, and how they are designed to thrive by themselves.
Starting at the beginning, what was your relationship like with time in the very early days of career, business, or life?
My relationship with time at the beginning of my career was probably that by this age you should have this, by that age you should have this, buy a house, do these things. No matter what happens, just keep pressing forwards, just keep powering through, don't look back, achieve. So it was very much about you get what you want by how much effort and how hard you can work. And there was a deadline to that.
And how did that work out for you?
Not great. So I was a real high achiever. I really burnt myself out for my career. I was head of production at various production companies before the age of 30. I was also then selected as one of 5 or 10 people out of thousands for a trainee scheme. And I just really put my all into my career without really listening to my body or without really listening to myself or understanding who I was at the time.
Sounds like the journey has been part of the outcome. What was the wake-up call that helped you to see time differently?
My wake-up call was definitely severe burnout that actually landed me in hospital at some point. As a freelancer, because I was a freelancer in the TV industry, there was always a lot of comparison, you know, who can output the most? How can we all be the most productive? How can we all work the long hours, the long days? And at the time, I hadn't come across human design and I hadn't actually realized that I was designed to work very differently than the 70% of people that were sitting around me in my office. And yeah, that was the wake-up call. I was very unwell and I had to think, you know, do I have to reconsider my career? Do I have to start retraining? Or is there something else I'm going to have to do because I can't keep this up? That's when I started to dive into various different modalities, do yoga training, reflexology training, Reiki training, do all sorts of different things to try and get my head around what is it that I can move forward with? What am I now going to do that I can't work in television because I'm so tired all of the time?
How do you think that knowing your human design has helped you on this journey?
The first thing I learned about my human design was that I was a projector. And this information, once I started to read into it, came with a load of self-compassion. That was the first thing I felt, this relief and this self-compassion that I was not designed to work in the same way as most of the people in my office. I had a different way of seeing things and a different unique gift to share. Me pushing through and trying to keep up was what was making me sick. So understanding my human design and understanding I was a projector and not designed to work in that way helped me then get clear on, well, how am I designed to work? How can I navigate and maneuver this so that I can still work in the industry that I'm passionate about and that I enjoy working in, but without being unwell and exhausted by lunchtime every day?
What is human design and where is a good place for us to start?
Human design is a system that's made up of various different modalities pulled together to present you a chart that shows you how your energy is designed to flow in your body. When you're looking at your human design chart, you'll see where in your body your energy is consistent and where your energy is inconsistent. And the aim of this is to bring awareness to where you should be delivering from, working from, sharing from, and the areas of your chart that maybe you need to become more aware that that's not something you can rely on all of the time. Human design is essentially an energetic map showing you how you're designed to thrive, how you're designed to share your gifts and what's available to you and what isn't.
You said that you're a projector. What am I?
You're a generator. Generators are about 70% of the population. So this is usually what the majority of the people, we're in a cafe or we're in an office, the majority of people are generators. And generators are the types that are here to build and really create. Myself as a projector, I was surrounded by generators and trying to work in the same way, which didn't turn out very well for me.
How many different types are there?
Everyone in the world will fit into one of four different types. This is generator, projector, manifestor, and reflector. There's also another type called manifesting generator that falls under that generator category. So when you pull up your charts, it will tell you which of these five types that you are.
And you said that 70% was the generator type. So what are the other percentages for the other types?
Yeah, 70% of the population are either a generator or manifesting generator. Then we have about 21% that are projectors. 8 or 9% is manifestors. And then the 1% of people that are actually reflectors. And they're very unusual to come across, although, you know, definitely I know a few myself already, but I always find it's quite life-changing for reflectors, specifically when they pull their chart and they can see that they're a reflector. They're a very unique person to come across.
The first time I saw my chart, I was blown away by how complex it is. So I feel like this is our first conversation on it. We'll have you back on the show to talk about human design. The next step, in knowing the fact that there are five different types, how did that help you to then start to see, okay, so this is my design, this is the way I am, maybe I might work differently to other people? Did it give you permission in some ways in knowing this? How did the information help you?
Firstly, understanding I was a projector, like I mentioned, first of all, gave me that self-compassion. I kind of stopped beating myself up for not being able to keep up with everyone and not being able to, you know, spend really long days in the office and feel fine afterwards to go out for a drink. For a long time, I didn't understand why that was a problem for me. Why do I feel like I need to go home at lunch and have a nap? What's wrong with me? I must be unwell, you know? The information it gave me was really understanding how I am designed to work. So for projectors, we're really designed to work in short, focused segments of time. So for me, this is to pick a topic or something that I want to do that day and sit down, mute everything else and go, I'm going to spend the next 3 to 4 hours doing this topic. For projectors, their aura is very kind of focused. It's really seeing into something. It's very directed. Juggling and multitasking really isn't their thing. So even just knowing that really helped me navigate my energy, feel better in myself, spending time away from the office as well, being able to sit in my own energy and feeling what it is to be me really helped. I think with the projector, we have an open sacral center, and sometimes we're absorbing the energy of the generator and feeling like it's our own energy, and it can become very, very confusing as to knowing when to stop and when to keep going.
Do you think that the different types that people are has an impact on where they work best? And obviously you've just said that how a projector can work in chunks of time. Do you feel like the type that you are impacts your way of being productive, if you like?
Definitely, 100%. All the types are designed to work together. Obviously, we're not all designed to kind of sit in our own little groups, all the projectors together, all the generators together. We're really designed to work as a group. How we work as a group is based on our strategy. So if we start with the manifestor, they're really here to inform people, to initiate, to start things off. So these are the people who need encouragement to take a step forward and say, this is what we're going to do. This is what I want to do. The generators are then designed to really respond and go, that's something that really excites me. I'm going to say yes to that. Hey, manifestor, can I help you build this thing? Now, projectors, because they don't have this sacral center and don't have that same building energy, they're really here to look at what the manifestor and generator are building and going, oh, hey, I can see a better way of doing this. Let me guide you. Let me lead you down this path. Maybe this is a way to improve this thing. And then we have the reflector, which is that 1% of society who's really there to mirror back the state of the environment, the health of the environment, overseeing and looking at the project unfold and going, oh, hey, actually, maybe if we could move this round a bit, this might work a little bit better for you. Have you thought about inviting more of these kind of people in? So they're really designed to work as a pack, for want of a better word. They're really designed to work together, and understanding your type and seeing where you sit in that group structure can really help with productivity. Because what burns us out and what makes us tired is trying to be something that we're not. So as a projector trying to build, or as a reflector trying to build, or, you know, as a generator maybe trying to guide this rather than using up their energy, understanding where you sit in that group can really, really help with productivity.
If I was building a team, what I'm hearing you say is that I would want different types in the team to perform different roles.
Yes, 100%. Ideally, you have the whole mix, with reflectors being quite unusual. Sometimes that doesn't happen. But even being aware of your team and understanding how each team member is designed to work can really help with their focus. You know, understanding you have a projector and really they need to be invited to share what they see. Then if you're sat in a meeting room, you know someone's a projector, you can invite them for their insights. Understanding how everyone works can really help with focus and then with their morale level. If I'd known that I was designed to work like that from the beginning, perhaps I wouldn't have tried to be like all of my peers.
This is fascinating. There's so many ways we could take this conversation. I'm just really, really hearing that the more you understand yourself and you tune into your intuition and then you take the test to find out your design, it can help you in so many different ways. Where can we go to take the test? Because I know this is the first question that people are going to have.
You can go to my website to take the test. Once you've grabbed your chart, you can also download a little free mini reading from my website as well. In order to grab your chart, you do need to know your time of birth. If you have any questions around that, you can also come to me and I can give you a link that will help you unravel that if you're not sure what it is.
People can now get their charts and find out what their type is, what their profile is, and so many other different things that we could go into, but we'll just keep it sort of step by step by step here, because when you first get this chart, you are overwhelmed. Because there are so many layers to it. Just knowing one or two individual layers, as Lauren is sharing here, can be game changing. The fact that different people work in different ways, and being a generator, just understanding the energy and how some activities that I might do, I feel like they drain my energy. Is that something that you come across?
Definitely. I think the other thing with human design is that, you know, yes, we want to start with the basics. We want to know what type we are. But the next thing we really want to know is how we best make decisions. And even just starting with those two pieces of information, because a lot of the time we're taking action or we're making, you know, we're deciding to do something because we've made an incorrect decision, because we're making a decision from somewhere in our chart that isn't reliable. Just understanding those two pieces of information, you know, you as a generator, you might be spending your time doing something because you've made an incorrect decision and you've decided to hook your energy into this thing that perhaps isn't correct for you.
In our charts, we've got what you call open centers, closed centers. My head, for example, is an open center, where you're saying that I might make decisions that are not necessarily using my energy in the right way. Is this because of the open center?
Yes. So our open centers, when we're looking at, if you grab your chart and you have it in front of you, if you're looking at your chart, you'll see some centers are white and some centers are colored in. So when we're looking at the white centers, these are acting like TV aerials, right? They're bringing in and they're receiving information and energy from the environment. They're then almost like tossing it up and amplifying it, so it sounds really, really loud. And so these open centers tend to be where we're most distracted, right? The thing that pulls our focus away. So if we take you with the open head center, I mean, 70% of the population have an open head center, so this one's quite common. What happens with this open head center is it starts to feel into other people's inspiration, other people's questions. It starts to think about things that don't matter. It starts to try and answer other people's questions for them that no one's asked for your advice on. I know I've shared with you before an example for this for me specifically, because I also have an open head center, is that I might listen to a podcast or listen to something in the morning and then talk away in my head for the rest of the morning answering questions from that podcast that no one's asked me to think about or talk about. And so when we look at our chart and we look at these open centers, each of them has a different theme. We can start to go, oh, hey, where am I doing this? And bring awareness to what's distracting us from being ourselves and being our most productive, being our most focused person.
Again, this is mind blowing. It really, obviously I have an open center, so it really makes me think. Are people with an open center more likely to be distracted by the outside world and find it harder to focus on activities, do you think?
The open centers are more likely to be the places that we're conditioned. So we're conditioned to be not ourselves, or our not self, as we call it in human design. If you're looking at your chart and you have lots of open centers, by the way, there's no need to panic. Open centers are very much, although they're the areas that we're often conditioned, they're also this sort of portal to wisdom. So when we can become aware of what's distracting us in each of these centers and overcome it, you know, being able to recognize this voice that's talking in our head, being able to recognize the fact that maybe we always want to have the correct opinion or the correct idea or the correct concept. When we can recognize these things within ourselves, we then overcome them. And then this becomes a gift we can share with others. This becomes something we can share with other people and teach them. And so I remember when I saw my chart and I had all these open centers, I was like, oh gosh, no wonder I'm all over the place. But actually, as you start to tune into each of the themes of these centers, you go, well, yeah, I do have an open sacral center. This is what made me burn out. And now I'm going to share this with others because I've learned from this place. Having an open head center doesn't, you know, it's not, oh no, I'm going to think about things all the time. It's becoming aware of it. And then how can I share how I overcame this with other people?
So if a client came to you and you were doing a reading and talking them through their chart and you noticed that they had an open head center and they were saying, I really struggle with attention. I find that I'm easily distracted. And how can I focus on activities? What would you talk about with them in relation to their design?
We would look at the centers as individual things, but we also look at them as a collection. So one thing you can do, I wouldn't suggest this for beginners, but you can look at your open center and then you can look at the little colored gate that comes out of that center if you've got one coming out of that. And this will tell you the theme that you are thinking about things. So for instance, with me, I've got an open head center, but I've got a little black line coming out of the middle of it. And this will make sense when you see your chart in front of you. And so for me, it's not just thinking about things that don't matter. For me, I think about things that don't matter that are related to this theme. And this theme on the gate I have is around inner truth, understanding who I am, what am I, why am I here, that kind of thing. And just with a client bringing awareness to, is this the thing you're thinking about all the time? Sometimes it's just the awareness that can be that switch that goes, oh yeah, so it is. How can I work with this? And is there something that I can share around this? But so much of human design, it's really a map, right? It's not a manual. It's an experiment. It's looking at how is the energy playing out in my body? These are all the different themes and ideas and concepts that I am thinking about. How can I bring awareness to that? That's what I find is so powerful about human design. It's just that awareness tool of where we're being pulled away and where we're being distracted.
So I've gone to your website, I've downloaded my chart, I've discovered I am a XXX. What would be my next step from the point of view of I'd like to use my human design in my life? What do you feel is the best way to use this tool?
The best way to use human design, and essentially what human design was created for, was making correct decisions. What I would be looking at is, yes, I've learned about my type and I offer mini video series about your type if you want to kind of learn more about your type. But then I would be diving into how do I best make decisions? Because here's the issue. We run our lives through our mind and our mind can't perceive everything in front of us. Our brain's taking in billions of pieces of information every second and it's only picking the small fragments that it's processing. It can't process everything. And when it's processing this information, it's putting it through the filter of what we experienced in the past, what we believe is going to happen. And so then we start to make decisions where we're making decisions from the mind based on what happened in the past or what we believe is going to happen in the future. What human design allows us to do is learn how we make decisions from our body. And so there's 7 different ways of making decisions in human design, and you will be one of these 7 options. I found it changed my life. It's definitely the next step to look into. And it's at the core of the human design system, is how do you make correct decisions?
I feel like we are on the precipice of another large amount of information, but just give us the top level. What are the 7 different ways that we could make these decisions?
We call them authorities in human design. So the first is the emotional authority. So this is someone whose decision making is clouded by their emotional wave. Then we have the sacral authority. So this is someone who is designed to make decisions based on their gut, so this gut feeling. Then we have the splenic authority. This is someone who's designed to tune into their intuition. So they have a knowing. They can't explain why, but they know. Then we have the ego authority. This is someone who's designed to make decisions by listening to, you know, their heart, their inner truth, what's best for them. We also have self-projected, which is someone who's designed to speak out loud in order to make their decisions. They need a sounding board. They need to speak it and hear it back for themselves. And again, that's not asking someone else for advice, because if you ask for advice, it comes from the other person's mind, but it's just listening to it back by getting it out of your body. And then we also have the lunar authority, which is the 1% for the reflectors. And for them to make decisions, they just really need time. They really need a long period of time to process what they're feeling, what they're moving through, the information that's coming into their chart.
And what's the most common?
We've got about 43% are emotional authority, this is what I am. And this is what I found shocking when I first understand human design, because all of my life I was told to listen to my gut. And actually the decision making for the gut comes from the sacral center, which was a center that I didn't have access to. It was a center that was essentially burning me out because I didn't have access to it. And so this can be, yeah, really eye-opening. It's definitely something I would recommend looking at. So yeah, 43% of the population are emotional authority. They're designed to regulate their emotions before they make a decision.
And I'm also an emotional authority. In terms of how we make a decision, my way of making a decision is intuitive. What's the difference between intuition and the emotional authority when it comes to human design?
What's unique about your chart is that when we're looking for where we make decisions, we're looking at the colored in sections of our chart, because that's what we know is reliable and we have access to. You know, it's not the aerial receiver, it's the processor. So you have your emotional center defined, your sacral center defined, and your splenic center. So this is intuition, gut feeling, and emotional wave. So for you, you're likely gonna have a taste of all of them, right? But there is a hierarchy. And so the emotional wave wins, the emotional center is more powerful than the other ones. So for you, it would be, yes, you have this intuitive knowing. And without going into too much detail, you have a lot of energy coming out of that center in your chart, lots of kind of colored lines that are coming out of this center. So it absolutely makes sense that this knowing is prevalent for you. But there is always going to be this background frequency of, hey, if I'm really happy, it might disrupt my inner knowing. Or if I'm having a bad day, it might disrupt my inner knowing. So it's just something to bring awareness to.
Human design is mind-blowing. It's almost like every answer needs to be couched with it depends.
It's so unique. And this is what's so interesting about the whole system, is everyone is designed to work uniquely. And without unraveling every area of the system, just start with your type and your how I'm designed to make decisions. And that's really all you need for the first, you know, 6 months, is just tuning into that. Because yes, everyone's chart is very unique. And there's a lot at play within a human design chart.
How would you say human design has helped you from a work point of view and a life point of view, couched with the fact that we're here talking about time management?
How it's really helped me from a work point of view is I was very much of the opinion that that was my TV career over. You know, I couldn't keep up with people. I couldn't do things in the way that they needed them to be done. I couldn't be like the average person working these long hours. And actually, now that I've understood how my design works, I do continue to do some TV stuff, but I do it in my own way, in a way that meets with my design. So I'll maybe work half days or I'll work part time. I know how to focus my energy into a specific thing. And in doing that, I am so much more productive. I can get more done in half a day than I can in a full day in an office because I'm in my own energy. I'm not being pulled into how everyone else feels, the buzz of an office. I mean, working from home really changed everything for me. Focus, productivity, just completely changed, understanding how I'm designed to work.
Would you say that depending on your type, sometimes it can be helpful, beneficial for your productivity, sometimes not so beneficial, it might burn you out. If you're a projector and you're tuning into generator energy, I'm imagining that generators can overstimulate projectors in some ways to the place where they then want to go away.
Yes. So you're absolutely right. Of course, we're all designed to, you know, we're not all designed to sit in our own aura, our own energy at home and work by ourselves. And it depends on the types. But what we find when I was mentioning the open centers are like receptors, are like the TV aerials. When we're with other people, we're receiving the energy from their chart into our chart. What we have, without getting too deep into it, is when we have the little colored lines that are coming off the centers, sometimes being in the vicinity of other people can help those connect and can give us access to certain things temporarily. So what we're doing really is we're borrowing someone else's energy, which is what I did for all of my career at the beginning. You know, I was really borrowing the generator energy. Now, the important part here is actually understanding that it's borrowed. And this is where I went wrong because I felt like it was mine. I felt like I had this energy to do everything all the time. And so important is taking that step back and still spending a little bit of time by yourself, reconnecting to actually, how do I feel? But yeah, there's nothing, I mean, we're designed like that. We're designed to interact with each other, to feed off each other, to bounce off each other. And that's why those five types, you know, work together in a room. But it's just about taking that step back every now and again and going, oh, actually, how do I feel? Because we do feel different by ourselves versus being around other groups of people.
What I'm hearing you say is that when we're around certain people, it triggers certain things in our chart, which gives us this energy, as you were saying, like that borrowed feeling. When you hear people say, oh, when I'm with these people, I really enjoy and I feel X, Y, Z way, it's because of the designs and the two charts coming together. This makes so much sense.
Yes.
It makes so much sense. And in so many ways, it's mind blowing and then carries us off to another thing. So as not to turn this into a 3-hour episode today, would you say our job is to download our chart and use this information to confirm our intuition? You called it the experiment. How best can we move forward with this modality in our lives?
Really important that it's a map, it's an experiment, it's not a manual, it's not you must follow this in order to be successful, in order to feel satisfied, in order to do X, Y, and Z. And moving forward with it, once you have your chart, just it's the awareness. I feel like the first step is the awareness and the understanding. What's actually quite great is if you can get a chart of you and then get a chart of someone else who you think is very different to you and see if you're different types. And just starting to bring the awareness of, oh, that makes sense now. They are designed to operate and work in a different way than me. For me, that was the turning point. That was the, hey, I've got, like, I don't have to keep pushing myself. I don't have to keep doing it this way because it's not how I'm designed. And I knew inside that there was nothing wrong with me. I was just designed to do something in a different way. And I didn't know how. I didn't know why. I just knew I'm not the same as these people. I feel different and I need something to tell me why this is happening. So yeah, just that awareness of this is why I'm different. And if you can listen to videos on explaining the type, obviously I've not gone into each of the four or five types today because that would, as you say, that'd be a 3-hour episode. But understanding the type, understanding how you're designed to interact in a work environment, in a home environment, understanding how you're meant to make decisions. Just those 3 points can be life-changing.
Thinking about myself as a generator here, sometimes I can have boundless energy. Other times I feel absolutely drained within 5 minutes of a conversation.
The generator is interesting because they are designed to use up their energy every day. If they get to bed and they've still got energy, really they're designed to do something to use that up, go for a run, kind of let's. But when a generator is not feeling energized, often it's because they're pouring their energy into something that doesn't excite them and doesn't light them up as much. And so for the generator, the sign that they're pouring their energy into something they really love is that they are feeling energized. You know, they're spending their energy throughout the day. They're going to sleep. They're waking up fully charged again. That's how it is. A generator is designed to work. It's designed to go to bed exhausted. When that's not happening, when they're not spending their energy, it's either because and they're feeling low on energy, it's often because they are funneling their energy, hooking their energy like a generator machine into something that's not exciting them. And with the generator, when that energy starts to flow from their sacral center into that thing, and that thing doesn't excite them, it's very hard to unhook. I don't know whether this resonates with you, but when you start something and the energy goes that way, it can be quite difficult to unhook. And so the sign that that's not quite working for them is that they're feeling frustrated, low on energy, frustrated. I don't know how to get myself back out of this thing that I committed to, which again is why this understanding how you make decisions and what's correct for you is so important.
This does make a lot of sense. I almost can hear myself in my head saying, what I've started, so I must finish. But sometimes I might be doing something and get halfway through and think, I don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And then I find my open head questioning, is it because I don't have the discipline to be able to finish it? Or is it because I'm not good enough to finish it, or I should finish it? But my emotion and my intuition are saying no.
And there you go. That's your sign, you know, connecting with that decision-making process for you. And if it's saying no, it's a no. And so for the generator, it's just incredibly important that that process happens before starting to spend the energy. You know, that sacral energy is so powerful for the generator, being able to build things. It's something that 30% of the population do not have access to, right? Generators literally build the world. You know, they're here to do that work, and they have the sustainable energy to do that. So it's so important that when generators enter into a commitment or a project, that it's definitely a yes and it excites them before they start funneling their energy towards it.
And in essence, then, I guess what I'm hearing you say is if you do get halfway through something and it suddenly becomes a no, chances are when you made the decision, it wasn't fully a yes at the time.
That's right. Yeah. So did you use your authority at the time? So again, authority is your decision-making process. So for you, when you made the decision and it felt intuitively like a yes or intuitively like a no, were you in a balanced emotional state? Because in your chart, your emotions are louder occasionally than your intuition. So I always say for people with this emotional authority, this is emotional decision-making process, before you make the decision, you say to someone, can I come back to you about that, right? That's been my golden rule ever since I understood I was an emotional authority in human design. Can I come back to you about that? Then go away, go for a walk, maybe sleep on it. See how you feel the next morning. Make the decision from that emotionally balanced state rather than the gut, which is what we're all taught to do. Listen to your gut. What does your gut say? A lot of us, our emotions are overriding that gut feeling.
And would you say that in some ways where society maybe puts out, it's either a yes or a no, decide. Is that how we're designed? Is that how society would like us to? Is that how certain human design types can make decisions and others don't?
Absolutely. For that gut yes or no, that's only available to generators and manifesting generators dependent on their charts. But a projector will never be able to give you a correct yes or no. Neither will a manifester or a reflector, because they do not have access to that sacral center, that information. But the thing to note with that emotional center is sometimes it's never 100% a yes or a no. You know, for the emotional authority, when I get to a point where I'm about 70% yes, I know that I'm in. And I've spent maybe a few days processing it and trying to make a decision, you know, listening to how do I feel? You know, am I saying yes to this because it really excited me in the moment? I need to go take a step back and balance and see how that feels. But for the emotional authority, you're never really going to get 100% yes or 100% no, because our emotions aren't stagnant. They are always moving. You know, they can be more balanced and more stable, but they're always going to be moving with everything that happens throughout your day.
For me, my explanation for this is it's a yes or a no. And then there's the overlay of the emotion. So as you're saying, where am I on the wave? It's a yes or a no. And so the best way for me would be to say, I'll get back to you on that.
With you, with your chart, because you have so much energy coming out of the splenic center with this intuition, for you, it's probably going to feel more like a knowing than a gut response, than a gut yes or no, because there's a slight difference in how it feels. So you probably feel like, I know that that's a yes, or I know that that's a no. So for you, yes, let's note that down. I felt like it was a yes. Go away the next day, ask your intuition again. Does this still feel like a yes? Yes, it does. Okay, now we'll move forward with it. Because otherwise we let the emotions unravel how we truly feel and what we really want to take action on, and they end up running our life, essentially.
I'm so excited by this conversation, Lauren. I really, really would love to go on. And even talking about emotions and what is an emotion, I feel like is a whole episode in itself, as so many people don't tend to know, myself included. For years, I thought that there were three or four emotions: happy, sad, excited, angry. And then I discovered the wheel of emotion, and there's a whole ton more.
Yes. Yep.
There's two questions I'd like to wrap this conversation up with. The first is, what's your relationship like with time now using your design? Are there specific things that you do or you don't do which have come as a result of understanding your human design?
My relationship with time now is that, without sounding too esoteric, there's no destination. You know, there's not somewhere to be at a certain time for a certain reason. Really, I'm allowing life to unfold and making sure that I'm making the correct decisions along the way, and things will unfold when they unfold, right? Because where I am now is a collection of all the decisions I've made in the past. So as long as I can continue to make the correct decisions for me from my body, what my body is telling me, rather than my mind and the filter it's putting over my experience, then I will get to where I get when I get there. There's not this, I must hit these deadlines by these life stages anymore. That's gone. It's now this relationship of time just unfolds and I go along for the ride and I see where it takes me.
Tell us something from a time point of view that you do that you know that most people don't do.
Really, what I do personally, time management wise, is now tied to my human design chart. So it's not quite generic advice, but I do plot in, like I was mentioning, those set focused blocks, as opposed to just letting myself run away with time and just keep working and working and working and working. For that open sacral, really, the sign that something's going wrong is when you don't know when to stop. That's 30% of the population really have this open and they don't know when to stop, regardless of what time of the day or night it is. They don't know when to just, you know, close the laptop and go and take a break. So for me, it's plotting out those blocks of time to work in those focused periods, rather than letting my day run away with me and just seeing how much I can get done.
And final question, what have you got coming up this year?
I've got a few things coming up this year. Some of them are still sitting with my emotional authority, deciding on what to say yes to. Obviously, you can grab your free human design chart and a mini reading from my website, and you can dive into a video series about your type. And then coming up in the next few months, I'm going to be releasing a course where we go through each of these open centers and really understand, why is it I want what I want? Why am I being distracted by these things? What are the things that are distracting me? And what can I rely on? Where am I making my decisions from? And where am I sharing from and providing from and delivering from? Because this is the definition in the chart.
All of the links for everything are going to be in the show notes for how to get your free chart, for how to connect with Lauren and find out more. She is a veritable treasure trove of information. We're going to have her back on the show to talk about the next step of human design, because as I'm sure you're gathering from this conversation, there are so many layers. We can talk about ADHD, ADD, whether we should be working from offices or from home, how different designs do it. Does your gate or your channel make you better to work in sales or work in an accounting tech design role? It goes on and on and on. But I am so, so excited that we've had you on the show today, Lauren, to get this ball rolling, because knowing your human design is really going to save you time and make you so much more productive. Thank you for your time. Until next time, my friends, stay safe, stay well, and remember, it's your time. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you loved what you heard, be sure to let me know by leaving a review so I can keep the good stuff coming. Come and say hi on Instagram at Success by Design Training, or visit my website, successbydesigntraining.com, or connect with me on LinkedIn. Just search Abigail Barnes. Until next time, don't forget, you are amazing and it's your time.